Chapter 3, The Day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language, in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine."
Some Christians waste time arguing about secondary issues concerning the Holy Spirit. Yet there is so much important common ground to enjoy together. The apostles and over 120 men and women now pray together in an upper room. God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, will be their surprise divine guest of honour at the birth of the Church on this feast of Pentecost. He will change everything. He continues to change lives today, when sinful people come to Christ for forgiveness. He makes the day that they trust Christ become their personal Pentecost. Pentecost is a long-established annual feast for Jewish people. It means 50 days, because it comes 50 days after Passover. As 50 days is essentially 7 weeks, it is also called the Feast of Weeks. Another title, Feast of Harvests, marks the Jews gathering in their harvest. They say thank you to God by presenting to him as a token the first part of their harvest, thus known as the first fruits. So Pentecost now signals what believers in Christ first receive as soon as they turn to him, namely his gift of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in the hearts of all new believers. At the same time, he makes them part of his living church. God has very special plans for this particular Pentecost. Those converted to Jesus on this amazing day are the first fruits of his newborn church. Anyone, anywhere, and at any time who repents and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a living stone in that growing building of people who now have come to know God. God grabs the attention of those gathered together in that upper room. A sudden sound, as of a rushing mighty wind, fills the whole house. This huge tornado sound is from heaven. This is God's doing. Then, what seem to be tongues as of fire, separate and rest on each person present. The sound is not an actual rushing wind, it just sounds like a rushing mighty wind. Neither are the tongues actual tongues of fire, but just seem to be tongues of fire. Jesus had promised, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city until you are endued with power from on high." That moment has now arrived. The promised Holy Spirit has come. There are at least 15 different people groups in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. Many others speak different dialects and languages. God's amazing message will reach everyone and mark out this day as clear and unforgettable in world history. the world will hear that he will accept all men everywhere who repent from their sins, believe that his Son has died for them, and put their confidence in him alone. The Jews, who have rejected Christ as Messiah, ought now to understand that God will save Gentiles as well as Jews. But who is sharing this message with these multilingual visitors? All the speakers are locals from Galilee. No language laboratories exist. No printed dictionaries are available, nor TV programs or language teaching courses. Also, Galilean Jews speak with a distinct regional accent and are regarded as unsophisticated and uneducated by some southern Judean Jews. How will God convey his message to those of different languages, especially through largely uneducated men with heavy accents and no language skills? This is a unique experience in history. As God comes to bless all his blood-bought children in that upper room by filling them with the Holy Spirit and placing them into his living church, something else happens. They begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word translated tongues means languages, as is obvious from what happens and what is said. In the amazed and perplexed crowd, each person hears them speak in his own language. This makes them ask, "How is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born?" Bewildered, they ask each other, "Whatever could this mean?" God turns untrained and rustic Galileans into fluent speakers to cover all the languages represented. And they do the job perfectly. This truly is a work of the Holy Spirit, demonstrating that he has miraculously visited his newborn church. It also underlines God's passion to extend his church right from the start by saving people from all over the world who will now understand the message of the cross and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as their Saviour. Many people are compelled to accept the message that follows and publicly show by baptism that the Lord Jesus Christ has become their Saviour through personal faith in him. Some will need more time to get over their amazement before translating what they witnessed into personal faith. Others will realize later that they can be forgiven and will turn to Christ. They may sincerely continue to ask, "Whatever could this mean?" Fair enough. God expects us to think things through carefully, and that can take time. Jesus himself said, "Seek, and you will find." But some cynics mock and suggest the preachers are drunk, claiming they have drunk too much wine. Do drunkards speak intelligently and understandably in a foreign language, especially when they have never learned? Just the reverse. A person under the influence of alcohol normally finds it hard to speak coherently in his own language. What poor excuses and twisted arguments some hide behind to avoid facing their need to ask for God to forgive them for their sin. They ignore the solemn fact that life is so short. They dare not consider seriously that they are eternally lost without Christ. Although they need Jesus as their Saviour, they try to run away from him. To cover up, they treat the whole situation as a big laugh. But going to hell is no joke. Neither was Jesus' death on the cross, when he personally suffered our deserved judgment in order to save us from sin, death, and hell. Fools mock at sin. How very foolish to mock when forgiveness is on offer, where there is serious repentance. How tragic not to repent, trust Jesus, and receive eternal life. How sad to miss the real joy, peace, and blessing which the Holy Spirit brings with him as he comes to live in our lives. Are you making excuses for not turning to Christ? I do hope not.